Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yeah, if you love your boxing and your MMA, we have a brand new show every single week called The Knockout. Myself and the great Gareth A. Davies will be looking forward to some of the big fights that could happen in 2021. Could we see Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua, Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders? Every single week as well, we have a special guest. And today we've gone big. We've gone big for the first one. We've got the former IBF featherweight champion, Josh Warrington, will be joining us today. And I'll be asking him why he dumped the IBF belt. And as it is our first show, we've got a bonus guest for you as well. We're going to be speaking to the great promoter, Frank Warren. And also, what next for Conor McGregor after the defeat at UFC 257? Is the end near? This is The Knockout, and this is TalkSport 2.
A Deontay Wilder, who's been down, who's been absolutely pummeled, and the towel comes in! The towel comes in! Tyson Fury is a winner in Las Vegas! Jay Reyes, he throws in the towel! Tyson Fury has done the remarkable!
I will say, the king has returned to the top of the pole.
Look, bro, I started this game in 2013. I've been chasing all the belts. I've been dealing with mandatories. Of course I want a challenge. It's not about the opponent. It's about the legacy and the belt. Whoever's got the belt, I'd love to compete with them. If that is Tyson Fury, let it be Tyson Fury.
What a shot from Alexander Povetkin! And he's knocked Dillian White cold here in the fifth round! And that is extraordinary! Unbelievable!
And now, the undisputed lightweight champion of the world, the takeover, Teofimo Lopez!
A star is born tonight, the pride of all Mexico, and me, WBA, WBC, and Ring Magazine, super middleweight champion of the world!
It just got me excited for what could happen in 2021. I was like rubbing my hands together listening to that. All right, before we start, let me welcome in my co-host, the great voice of not just boxing, but MMA as well, the great mind, and that is Gareth A. Davies. Gareth, thank you for joining us here. Thank you for agreeing to be my co-host. This is going to be a good show, Gareth.
Oh, my brother, it's a pleasure to be here. Addy, talking fight sports in the afternoon during lockdown. I think a lot of people will enjoy, because it's normally late at night.
Fights take place
late at night, and it's lovely to be chatting to you, hearing your dulcet tones. We haven't worked together, I think, since the last time there was a big UFC event on Fight Island. It's great to be working together, and I'm delighted we're forming this partnership every week.
I love it, because I feel like you're right. We're breaking the rules. Normally, you talk boxing and MMA about 10 p.m. We're saying, you know what? No,
that's
we're
correct.
Breaking the rules. 3 o'clock, we're going to start talking some boxing. 3 o'clock, we're talking
about
it.
Yeah, it's still light. It's still light,
it
basically.
Is. This is we're doing things different here on TalkSport 2, I'll tell you. Gareth, look, so much to look forward to. Now we're in 2021. But let's go back a bit and look at what happened in 2020. Considering, look, we were going through a pandemic, boxing delivered, didn't it, in 2020?
It was a weird year last year. We heard the Tyson Fury there. His victory, heard Anthony Joshua at the end of the year. The two heavyweights done what they needed to do. But it was a very strange year last year without crowds. And we're starting the year with no crowds this year. But what's delightful is that we've got a schedule all the way up to April the 10th. And the possibility in the next couple of weeks that there'll be a big announcement that Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury will fight in the Middle East, I suspect, late May, early June.
Don't get me excited. Don't say May.
Well, no, but it will. And you know what? It's a bit like you sort out the date for the wedding and then you do all the planning around it. No, but it's like that because it is the big one. It's you know, 30 years I've covered boxing this year and it's going to be arguably the biggest event I've ever covered. And I was there at Mayweather and Pacquiao and Conor McGregor and Mayweather, which was a huge event, at massive fights back in the day. But this, because of social media, because it could happen with these two great heavyweights in their prime, at the right time, at a time when the world wants to see a big sporting event, everything else in boxing could fit neatly around that. Like you say, Canelo could come back twice by the summer. We might see him fight Billy Joe Saunders. We're getting Josh Warrington on shortly. Obviously, he's kicking proceedings off on February the 13th because of the lockdown. I mean, I'll let you say a few words because there's so many great fights coming up as well.
No, there is. Did you think, and you mentioned there that it could be the biggest, one of the biggest fights we've ever seen. I think it will do that in pay-per-view numbers. But do you think it loses a bit because it is in Saudi Arabia? Like, I've been there. I was there for Ruiz Joshua. They put on a great show, but it isn't like a Vegas show. You know that. It's not like a show at Madison Square Garden either. Do you think it loses a bit by being in Saudi Arabia?
Well, look, I think you have to say that Wembley Stadium has become a mecca for massive fight nights, as Millennium Stadium, because of what Anthony Joshua has done there. Las Vegas has been a mecca for fight nights since the 70s. New York goes back to the 20s. You know, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, the fight of the century, 1971, being one of the principal fights there. Two men had heart attacks and died on the night. There was so much excitement.
They did.
Remember that? There was,
I shouldn't
there
laugh,
was
but
cinemas.
They did, yeah.
No, I know you laugh out of dark humor. I know,
yes.
But even on that night, people couldn't get in. This is a night. Remember when Frank Sinatra was a ringside photographer, so he could get his seat on the ring apron, and Burt Lancaster was doing commentary. Now, for the youngsters listening, Burt Lancaster was one of the famous Hollywood stars at the time, and across the road in all the cinemas, they were showing that fight, the fight of the century. I'm digressing here, but we're going to on this show because we're actually going to talk boxing.
We are.
In the cinemas across the road from Madison Square Garden in 1971 when Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought, do you know, they even put seats behind the screen because people could watch it backwards. So they watched two southpaws fighting. But that's what happened because everybody wants to hear.
Yeah.
And my point is, this is that kind of fight. It doesn't matter where it takes place. It could take place on the moon.
I've said this.
It could take place on a giant yacht in the middle of the Pacific.
There was talk about that.
It's exactly. And you know, you could have 3,000 people at the fight, all paying $500,000 each because they're the richest people in the world. I don't mind it going to Saudi Arabia in this instance. I'd say Saudi Arabia. I don't know if it's going to Saudi Arabia. I don't mind it going to the Middle East in this instance, Addy, because we cannot possibly sell 100,000 tickets to Wembley Stadium or the Millennium Stadium at the moment and then ask people not to go because we can't go because of the pandemic. So I forgive them for that in this time. It is a massive fight. It'll be put on in prime time for the UK. I think it's the biggest boxing match, biggest event I will ever cover in my lifetime. I cannot see a bigger event than this.
No, really I agree. Can't. It's going to be massive. We're going to talk more heavyweight boxing with Frank Warren. And look, he's going to have a part to say and deal with when it comes to the Tyson Fury side of things as well. The blue ribbon division, the heavyweight division, is finally starting to gather momentum now. There are other names other than Joshua and Fury. We heard in the open there Dillian White getting knocked out by Povetkin. They rerun it again. How do you see some of the other contenders doing this year?
What, in those other fights, you mean, or the other heavyweights?
The other heavyweights. So you got White, well, Povetkin. We might get Joe Joyce, Usyk, possibly, fingers crossed.
Oh, I think we will get that. And I think what they'll probably end up doing, Addy, is making that for an interim World Boxing Organization, WBO title, because obviously Alexander Usyk is the mandatory for that. And he was at one point in the early parts of the negotiation for Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Joshua, of course, holding the WBO, IBF and WBA titles, and Tyson Fury holding the WBC belt. And we heard the commentary at the top of the show of him winning that fight. But I think, you know, that's a big fight. February the 27th, Joe Parker fights Junior Farr. So he stays in the running.
He's almost a forgotten man a bit, don't you think, Gareth? I mean,
yeah,
I like the little clips he's putting up on, and I think they're fantastic. Grow your social media base.
Oh, and they've been beyond amazing.
They've been absolutely ridiculous. Amazing. But in terms of a boxing side of things, we forget just how good Joseph Parker is because we haven't seen him for such a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he's always going to be in there, thereabouts as a contender. You ask about all the other contenders. You know, Deontay Wilder's going to face Charles Martin. Don't rule Deontay Wilder coming back. I mean, he had a bit of a meltdown, but he's back. I mean, you should be careful saying that because he tried to pick a fight with me.
I watched
Panto.
A clip many a time, Gareth.
Panto,
to be
mate,
fair,
Panto.
You stand your own. You stand your ground, Gareth.
Listen, I'd spent 10 days earlier. The truth behind that story is 10 days earlier, I'd spent 2 days with him in Alabama and we had got on famously. But he knows or knew then that I was close to Tyson Fury and he was leaning and said, you tell your friend, I'm going to knock him out. We are not their rivals. And, you know, no, it was. I'm not sure if it was a fun moment. I was contemplating just slowly taking my glasses off while you were doing it. But you know what? Because he was raging. He was red hot. The peppers were coming out of him. I thought, shall I just do a bit of drama here and slowly take my glasses off? Thank God I didn't.
Honestly, I know. Because I mean, his eyes that day, he was ready to go.
No, but I don't write Deontay Wilder off either. I mean, I think there's unfinished business there. I really want to see Deontay Wilder and Dillian White, Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. Don't you?
Those
fights?
This is the beauty of the heavyweight division. I mean, look, us as fans, and I guess a lot of casual fans want to see Fury Joshua, but I've told them, look, there are so many other heavyweight clashes that are going to be fantastic, just like Dubois versus Joyce was, right? There's so many twists and turns in the heavyweight division. As I said, Gareth, we are going to be speaking heavyweights in a bit later. I do want to move on and talk about Canelo, right? I mean, Canelo has come back, fantastic win against Callum Smith. Let people know at home, Callum Smith was the unbeaten, ring-recognized number one, 168 pounds. He barely lost a round against Callum Smith. He has signed this two-fight deal with Matchroom. One will be yielded him. We are praying to God the second one is Billy Joe Saunders, Gareth.
I think it's likely. I've spoken to a lot of people close to Billy Joe. I haven't spoken to Billy himself in a couple of weeks, for the last few weeks, but I do think it will be. And I think because he presents a different kind of challenge to recent guys that, you know, that Canelo's fought, the Saul Canelo Alvarez has fought. And I think, I love to roll those R's when we deal with
it. Well done, I can't do that, so I'll let you
do it. Okay, I'll do the Spanish.
You just do
the cool, urbane stuff that you normally do, yeah?
Yeah.
The thing is, I think, arguably, I think Billy Joe Saunders is pound for pound. If you made a pound for pound list that was purely boxing skills, I think Billy Joe Saunders is in the top 10 in the world. You might say he's in the top 8, top 6.
Top 8?
Yeah, definitely. He is so skillful. He is brilliant.
Remember the light guys, like the Estradas and the Chocolatitos of the world?
I'm talking pure boxing skills now. Comfort in the office. A guy that could do 20, 30 rounds a day against difficult opponents and still come out with barely a scratch on him. No, I think arguably he is our, in boxing skills alone, I think he is our very close to our pound for pound number one in the UK. And that's, a lot of people won't agree with me on that, but in pure boxing skills, pure knowledge, pure instinct, you know, he'd been doing this, he was doing it when he was setting up as a 9 month old child. You know, that he's a traveller. It's their national sport.
I will raise you one. Just before we go to the break, I'll raise you one who could be up there with him skill for skill. Josh Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. But Josh
likes a fight,
has the propensity to get involved in a trench war as well. Because it's in his nature, you know. Thankfully, I don't want to make this about me today, but I threw when I first met Josh. I've known Josh about 11 years. I remember him being so bitterly upset when he didn't win in the Olympics, was with him when he won at the Commonwealth Games. I'm delighted for him that he's in Ring Magazine's top 10 pound for pound list. He's number 9 in that list at the moment because his last five opponents were 110 wins and one loss, I think.
Yeah, it was that.
So he's done amazingly well.
I think Victor Postol was the loss.
It was. That's right. Well, the only thing with Josh is, and I think Ben Davison is trying to get him to do this, is be a little bit more safety first, a bit more savvy. But I threw a head kick at him early on when I got to know him, and he's never forgotten the head kick I threw at him, the roundhouse. And we were messing around, by the way. And he always mentions my kung fu kicks now. But I tell you what, he's a guy you don't want to get in a fight with. He could fight a 25-stone man. He's got that, you know, he's not the tartan tornado for nothing. I think he's brilliant, and I agree with you. He is, well, I've already earmarked him. People don't really understand this. I mean, he's a star of our sport, but he's not a star in sport at
agreed.
The moment. And I've earmarked him as potentially one of the big stars of boxing for this year. But like you say, the Canelo fight with Billy Joe Saunders, again, that will be a tremendous fight because and a tremendous thing for us in this country if we get Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua as well this year.
What a year it could be. And that's the start of the show. Look, cracking start, isn't it? Let's be honest. All right, it's the knockout here on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. We're turning our attention to the heavyweight division shortly, and who better to speak to than one of the leading promoters in the world, Frank Warren.
You're saying you're the guy, innit? Carlos Takam intelligently turns his man up, but takes another right hand. I said Carlos Takam was wobbling, and perhaps he was, but then he's playing possum by grinning that gum shield once again. Joshua hitting him with solid right hands. Referee Phil Edwards has intervened, seen enough, and waved off the contest.
Fury sees it coming, he takes two steps back, now he moves forward and jabs the body of Deontay Wilder, who's been down, who's been absolutely punished, and the towel comes in! The towel comes in! Tyson Fury is a winner in Las Vegas!
It's the knockout with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis with you every single week now. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on, not just in the boxing world, but we'll do the MMA world as well, because me and Gareth know our mixed martial arts. Look, the big question we want answered this year is, will we see Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua? I've been saying for a while that we will. One man that could help answer us is the great Frank Warren, leading boxing promoter, who joins us now. Frank, come on, Frank, let us know. Will we see it this year? Please say yes.
I believe we will. I think there's a will with everybody involved to get it over the line. And at the moment, we're just waiting to see some sort of draft agreement that we can all have our input into it. And I'm quite sure, as I say, there's a will to make it happen. So fingers crossed we're going over the line.
Frank, thanks very much for joining us today, and very happy to know that you're home after a little spell in hospital with COVID. Delighted to hear that. We need you in our sports. I just wonder, obviously the two protagonists want this fight. They've both said so. They've agreed a 50-50 on the first fight and a 60-40 split financially on the second. How difficult is it to align the four broadcasters, because you've got a deal with BT Sport and Tyson Fury in the UK. Anthony Joshua uses Sky Sports box office over here. And then in America, Tyson Fury's got a deal with ESPN and Anthony Joshua with DAZN. Can you get all four broadcasters involved, or will there be a bidding war? And also, where do you think the fight is headed? Because most of us believe it will head towards the Middle East because of the lockdown and the lack of crowds here.
I think that everybody's got to be pragmatic as far as getting this fight on. BT, Sky, I think they may not want it, but I think they'll have to share it. And I think it'll be the same in the States. You know, everybody wants to see this fight happen. It's the four belts, the two best heavyweights out there, and I think, as I said, you know, when we started, there is a will to make this happen with everybody. We just got to make it happen. As simple as that.
Frank, in the last couple of weeks, Frank, Eddie's come out and said this fight is 90% done. I think Bob Arum upped him and said we're 95% done. What's the holding up on this one? Is it the Usyk WBO situation? Are we talking splits? Are we talking about where the fight's going to be held? We're here in Saudi Arabia. What's the reason we can't say it's 100% done?
Because no one signed the agreement yet. It's still being drafted. And until we see it, and our lawyers, all our respective lawyers, look at it, then that's the position. And as I say, but providing the draft reflects what the discussions have been, I don't think there's going to be a problem. Regarding where it takes place, and as you just mentioned, and Officer Gareth did, the situation is pretty, at the moment, it's up in the air because obviously we've got the pandemic going on, but we've had a number of people contacting all the promoters concerned, talking about getting it on in their various territories. At the end of the day, we're not going to get it on in the UK by any stretch because of the pandemic, which is a great shame. So we will, I think the fight will go abroad and it'll go to a place that basically puts out the biggest guarantee.
At the moment, Frank, obviously Anthony Joshua holds three of the world title belts and Tyson Fury, the Ring magazine, and the WBC belt. And I think, you know, within the industry, I think it's accepted that Tyson Fury is probably the number one in the world. I'm fascinated with your indicator going, whether you're turning right or left. But
turning right.
Okay, that's good to know. It's always good to know that you're turning right and not left, Frank. Turn right and the fight happens. Have you seen improvements in Anthony Joshua, for example, in that Kubrat-Pulev fight? And I haven't had a chance to speak to you about this, and you haven't spoken about it at length much since his victory against Kubrat-Pulev. Do you think we've seen improvements in Anthony Joshua? He's had the fall, the hubris, the loss of the belts, the winning of them back, and then coming back after a layoff and beating Kubrat-Pulev in the style he did, in a much more kind of balanced way, if you like, with a lot more poise and no rushing. Do you think the margins between the two men has got closer and we are in for a spectacular fight and it isn't maybe a 70-30 or an 80-20 towards Tyson Fury that a lot of people think?
But he had to do what a lot of people, I mean, it's a funny thing, you know, Tyson in the two fights against Wilder went in as the underdog both times. And a lot of journalists were saying it was going to get knocked out in both those fights, which obviously didn't happen. A lot of people, up until I think the last Wilder fight, a lot of people were big on Joshua. For me, I've never been big on Joshua beating Tyson because I don't think I just look at what to do with any fight. I look at what are their strengths and their weaknesses. So you start off: has Anthony Joshua got a better jab than Tyson Fury? No, he hasn't. Is he a better boxer than Tyson Fury? No, he isn't. Has he got a better defense than Tyson Fury? No, he hasn't. Is he going to outbox Tyson Fury? I very much doubt that. He's a big puncher, we know that, but so is Tyson. And I don't think AJ is a bigger puncher as Wilder. And we see Tyson get off the floor twice against Wilder, the biggest punching heavyweight in the last, you know, 25, 30 years in heavyweight boxing. So, for me, I fancied Tyson like I fancied him as much as I did when I fancied him to stop Wilder in the second fight. And I did say that to you at the time, Gareth, he will stop him. And I think that's what, and I think he'll do it. Listen, I may be wrong. And anything can happen in these heavyweight guys. They're big, you know, they're phenomenal, strong men. They carry bombs in their hands. Anything can happen. But for me, I think AJ's made for Tyson.
Frank, you've obviously put on some massive fights in your time as a promoter, 40 years in the game. Congratulations on that as well. Some would have been difficult to negotiate. Some would have been easy. Just how difficult has it been to kind of make sure these two parties come together? And is this the biggest fight you've ever put on? I mean, a fight of this magnitude, is it right up there with the biggest, or is it the biggest by far?
Well, I think for everybody, you know, for top rank, me, Matchroom, I think obviously it'd be the biggest fight we've ever put together. It's huge. It's a huge fight. It's probably one of the biggest fights that have happened. As regarding why it hasn't happened is obviously COVID. I honestly do believe, had we not had this epidemic, the fight would have taken place last year. But, you know, the pandemic stopped a lot of things from happening, including, you know, the fight we've all been waiting for.
Frank, there's more going on. I mean, we're obsessed, almost obsessed with this fight. But there's more going on in the boxing world, of course. And on, if I get the date right, February the 27th, Carl Frampton, under your umbrella, fights Jermell Herring for the WBO featherweight. Am I thinking super featherweight, isn't it, title? And it's the third weight division that Carl is looking to become a world champion in. A very tough fight. You've managed to get Jermell Herring to come over. He's a terrific character, story, everything. I'm expecting a massive build-up. How important a fight is this for Carl? Because he may not get another opportunity at world title level. He was the Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. How big an opportunity, or how, you know, at last, a kind of ultimate opportunity is for him? And where do you expect this to take place if you've got a venue in mind at the moment?
Right. Look, this is a tremendous fight and opportunity for Carl. But for Carl, it's history making. No Irish boxer has ever been a free weight champion. So it'll put him in a club where there's only other two members, as far as Brits are concerned, you know, who are Duke McKenzie and Ricky Burns, I think, was the other one, and that's a bit debatable, one of his. But certainly it put him in, as far as Ireland's concerned, it put him into that category, and I think that would make him the best Irish boxer of all time by doing that, by doing what he done. But it's a tough fight against a very, very good operator. And where we're going to put it on, he'll either go in the studio or maybe the Copper Box. That's what we're looking at the moment.
Frank, you put on so many great fights last year, especially considering that we were going through a pandemic. I think one of the biggest ones was Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce. How is Daniel Dubois doing? And is it likely we see him out around sort of May, June, July, possibly?
He's doing okay. I see him. We had a meeting, and he's back to see the doctor for his retina on the 5th of February. The two fractures that he had around his eyes, the lower orbital, and I can't think what the other one's called, but anyway, they both healed and they're okay. So he's going to see the retina doctor because he had a bleed on his retina, and provided they say it's okay, the doctor says it's okay, then he can start training. And if he starts training and he's all right, then we'd hopefully get him out sometime in May. That's what we'd like to do.
And finally, for me as well, here, Frank, Lyndon Arthur versus Anthony Yard. Surprise upset. Some people thought Anthony Yard was going to go in there and stop Lyndon Arthur. It proved completely wrong. Are we going to see a rematch of that one? I know Lyndon Arthur's been talking about fighting some other light heavyweights, some great light heavyweights in the country. Or will we see Anthony Yard get his chance in the rematch?
Well, look, there is a contracted rematch, and hopefully we will get that on. I'd like to get it on when the fans are back, but that's the intention, obviously, because there is a rematch clause to make the fight happen. It was a good fight. It wasn't how I expected it to be, as far as it wasn't as exciting as I liked it to be. Mm. And Anthony left, you know, so people say Anthony left it to the last round, and he had a good last round. But having said that, Lyndon did what he had to do, working behind his jab. It was a very, very close fight. There wasn't a lot in it, in my opinion. But it's two guys a game. You know, we didn't mess around. We put two guys in at their best to get it on. And I want to see them back in the ring again. In the meantime, you know, Lyndon has had a hand problem. He's got to have an operation. So hopefully he'll be back in action sometime in May, end of May.
Frank, thank you so much for giving us some time. Always great to speak to you. The fans will be very excited about what you said about AJ Fury possibly happening this year. Fingers crossed. I've got everything crossed. It does happen. Always great to hear from Frank Warren there. Up next, I told you we've got a special guest today. Up next, we're hearing from former, and it's weird to say former IBF featherweight champion Josh Warrington.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And he's going to go, is he? No, somehow Takust stays up. He's taken massive shots and Warrington trying to put him away. And it's all over. He's finished it. It's all over in the second. Bob Williams steps in there, rescues Sofia Takust, and as dramatic a win as you'd want, as dramatic as you want.
It is the knockout with myself, Andy Oladipo, and the great mind, Gareth A. Davis. I told you we're gonna go big on the first show, and we have gone big. Let's welcome in now former, and again, it's strange to say that, former IBF featherweight champion Josh Warrington. I have to say this on air, my 2018 Fighter of the Year for those wins and big wins over Lee Selby and Carl Frampton. Josh, thanks for taking the time to speak to us today. Josh, it must have been difficult for you to vacate the IBF belt. I remember when you won it against Lee Selby and just the pride in your face. Obviously, we wanted to see the Zhu Kan fight. That didn't happen. Is that the reason you decided to vacate?
Yeah, more or less, that's what it comes down to. Like I say, it's weird that I'm the undefeated former world champion.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
You know, three defences under my belt, and, you know, taking on the best in them defences, obviously, barring Takuch, but only wanting to fight the best. And, you know, what it comes down to is the fact of, you know, my first defence, Carl Frampton, my second defence, manager challenger in Kid Gallard, and I've been pushing and trying for the unification fights for, well, since, you know, mid-2019. And in order for me to go on and beat these bigger names and these other names of the division, then this is what we have to do. And I ain't going to let no belt or organisation hold me back in achieving goals that we've set out and fighting these big, you know, in these other big fights.
Afternoon, Josh and Sean. I know your father, Sean O'Hagan, is there. Your coach is there with you. So, afternoon, gents. Happy New Year, and I hope you're well.
Cheers, same to you, Gareth.
I think you did the right thing by vacating. You are going to get those bigger fights. I mean, surely you want, when it's possible, I know we're locked down at the moment, to take those 5,000 or 8,000 across the pond and have big fights in America as well, Josh.
Gareth, that's what we've been wanting to do for the last 2 years. You know, I mean, win the world title, you know, first defence. Normally, a fighter has a steady defence, you know. Just get, you've done your hard work winning world title, have a steady defence. Not us. Straight into the fight there with Carl Frampton to cement ourselves as the number one in the country. Then we took care of our mandatory challenge, like I say, in Kid Gallard. After that, I thought I'd be able to go on and push onto the fights against the other champions around the world, your Gary Russells, your Shakur Stevensons, your Leo Santa Cruz's. Now, as you know, there's a lot of politics in boxing. I always thought that the fights would be easier to make in the higher level. It seemed a little bit more difficult at this level, to be honest with you, especially when organisations and everything involved. And the career's short, you know, the career's short and there's a short shelf life. I've been pro 11 years now. I'm desperate for these big nights, Gareth. You know, your likes of, for instance, Carl Frampton, he boxed Scott Quigg, and he was able to get the opportunity to go on and fight an Iron Weight division against another champion across the pond. It's like, what have I got to do to get that? You know, this fight, what I'm looking to get with Kanju, people who know boxing will know that when you fight for a Ring magazine belt, you only fight when it's the best fight in the best. You know, it can only happen when number one fights number two or number one fights number three. It can't happen any other way. So I only want to be part of the big nights and the big fights. Now, being part of the big fights, I think cements your legacy. And it also opens your doors to being recognised when you're going over to the States. Rather than going over as a bit of a guest, you kind of landed into the States, booting the doors open and saying, here I am. You know, and like I say, you know, we want to keep the thing alive of going and fighting your Gary Russells over there, your Navarrete's. You know, maybe if an opportunity comes up to move up to Super Feather and fight a Joseph Diaz, you know, an Oscar Valdez, then I'm all for it. But like I say, been through all the hard fights. I've done the small all leisure centres. I've done the arena fights. You know, I've done Leeds Arena about 20,000 times. Done Ellen Road, MEN. Now, let me have a little bit of glory in the States, man.
Josh, I was at your fight for Lee Selby, and in terms of atmospheres, I've been to a few fights. That was the best. Like that was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I have to say that. Josh, you've gone from Eddie to Frank. You've gone back to Eddie in the hope of making these big fights, right? Are you not scared without the IBF belt? Are you not scared that that doesn't help you kind of maybe get yourself into a position, especially when you go to America? They want to see belts, don't they? They love seeing people come out with belts, et cetera, et cetera. Are you not scared that by dumping the IBF, you don't have that leverage anymore?
Yes and no. Yes, because it's a bargaining tool. And obviously negotiating fights, you know, you're going into there as a challenger. But no, because I think we've got to a stage now where, you know, we're seeing YouTubers drawing massive crowds and making big fights because, I mean, bloody hell, YouTubers haven't even got a professional win on the records, but they're still headlining shows. I think we've gone a little bit past the stage of we need belts in every situation. You know, you look at times when Ricky Hatton back in the day, he'd vacated belts, and you know, I think he boxed Castillo for a WBC international and an IBO belt. So, you know, obviously, for a boxer, glory. I've always felt that I wanted to. The way I'd lose my IBF belt is either on my back or going out of my shield. I never thought I'd lose it in the way of politics. But with that being said, the old pound note talks a lot, and if there's a right amount of money on the table, then the other fighters will be willing to fight. And, you know, one good thing that what I've been able to achieve is an exciting style, good fan base behind us. So I think that's got a lot of bargaining tools. And listen, in the long run, we'll regain them belts. I'm very, very confident of it. The man outside him is confident of it as well. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's not, like I say, the career won't be dictated by the IBF belt.
It's very interesting, you know. You know, you haven't fought for 16 months. Obviously, when you fight Mauricio Lara on 13th of February, and we all wish you well in that, and hopefully there's no banana skin there. Personally, I expect you to do a job on him, and I know Sean will be expecting you to do a job on him, and you leave no stone unturned. You two, you're incredible. Is there something you've had to do? You're 30 years old, you're undefeated in 30 fights. Have you had to stay mentally strong during COVID, because you're at the peak of your powers, but you haven't been able to express it in the ring? Do you do things to stay mentally tough, Josh, when you must have hard days at the moment, because we all do at the moment?
We just try and make a positive out of it, don't we, Johnny?
Yeah, I think, we just try to be honest with you, we've got enough. We've got a big family, we've got a big fan base, we've got quite a big outfit now as well, developing in our gym. So I think between us all, we've had enough to keep us busy. I think also it can be a blessing in disguise where throughout the lockdown we've been able to take his foot off at gas a little bit and relax a little bit. So, you know, that little bit of rest and a little bit of respite from boxing, I think what it's done with him, I've seen during these preparations, it's made him even more determined to push on. And me, myself, you know, I mean, we've had this with IBF, but for me, you can't have a single governing body determining which career path you're... which path you go down in your career. You know, career is about progression and going forward. And by having to give that up, you know, we've moved forward and we'll come back even stronger and even better.
But mentally, Gary, throughout lockdown, just going off what he says there, just even to pull back a little bit. And I think this is kind of been a little bit of overlooking what it's like to be a retired fighter. Because, you know, without no goals in the insight, like normally for my last 7-8 years, it's been every few months you're looking ahead, you're looking at the next date, you're looking at the next date. Now, there's been a large void of no dates to aim for. And I think it makes you appreciate where you are, because we're at top of our game here. You know, we're on the top level, ranked number one in the world. And it's like, like I said earlier, it's a short shelf life and it's not a long career. You've got to appreciate where you are. And if anything, it's given me the hunger, especially when I've sat back on the sofa watching all the other fighters getting out. It's made me appreciate where I am and the hunger to really enjoy all these, you know, the spurt at the top.
With kids as well, I think, is spending a lot of valuable family time with his kids that he wouldn't normally get the opportunity to do that. And in turn, I think it's he's been very, very happy doing that. And an happy fighter is what we're all after, isn't it? Happy fighters prepare well. They do things the right way. So I think we'll be back. And all the signs are, we'll be back even stronger and even more determined.
Happy fighter is a good fighter. Final question for me, gents. Josh, you spoke about possibly going to 130. Obviously, look, you still make 126. It can't be easy to make that weight class, though. But there are some super fights out there at 126 and 130. If there is a dream fight out there at either weight class, where is it? Miguel Bichel, Gary Russell Jr., Shakur Stevenson. There's a lot of talk about that fight last year. What's your dream fight at either weight class?
Oh, man. I mean, like, they're all dream fights. You know, when I won world title, that fight that you was at, Ellen Road against Lee Selby, you know, at the time, there were Gary Russell Jr., Leo Santa Cruz, Oscar Valdez. I mean, any one of them is a mouth-watering fight, you know. Gary Russell, obviously, is more a technical fight, but we know that Valdez and Santa Cruz is going to be a phone box fight. It's going to be it's going to be a ding-dong. But then it's same as Super Feather, like Joseph Diaz, who brings all action. Shakur's the man, who they're all saying he's going to be the next Floyd. So, listen, I couldn't really put my finger on any one of them. It's all about them big fights, getting them notches on the career and getting them kills, man. adding all them casualties to my career.
No, absolutely. Josh Warrington, Sean as well, thank you so much for joining us here.
Cheers, gents.
Cheers. Honestly, really, really appreciate it. Josh, I wish you...
Thank you.
Wish you a really good 2021, Josh, and hopefully you do get some of those big fights that we've spoken
about. Yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next, we're going to talk about a certain mystic Matt Conor McGregor. Where's he going to go from here?
I'll regroup and pick myself up, you know what I mean? Get up off the floor and go again, and that's it. Styles make fights. There's many great stylistic matchups out there. I meet myself and Dustin at 1-1. Myself and Nate at 1-1. You know, there's many good matchups for me, and I'll adopt a different approach for the trilogy, I feel, with Dustin, because, you know, those leg kicks are not to be messed with, you know what I mean? That calf kick, the low calf kick, I've never experienced that, and it was a good one. So it's not that I haven't got the style in me to switch it up and keep that at bay. And I've a lot more weapons. I didn't get the show. It wasn't my night. It wasn't a great night, but again, no excuses, hats off. And, you know, regroup and pick myself up.
It's the knockout of myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Let's switch our attention now to mixed martial arts, in particular the UFC and Conor McGregor. Gareth, you know what I love more about Conor? And we're going to talk about, you know, whether or not he should be fighting and where he goes in the UFC in terms of potential matchups. But I love how he deals with a defeat. Like, I've never seen someone who, look, clearly has a big ego and loves himself, etc., etc. But the way in which he handles a defeat is so... Any young kid coming up, right, all these boxers nowadays are protecting their O. If they lose, they kind of vanish and disappear. They should all watch how Conor McGregor handles a defeat. No excuses. Back on the horse, we go again.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and that's a very good way of putting it. But, you know, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Addy, and, you know, I've made two documentaries for BT Sport on Conor McGregor, and I've been around him since he was on the dole apprentice plumber, or certainly just after that, and charted his rise in minute detail. But him on Sunday morning here in the UK, our time, It reminded me of Nazim Hamed 20 years ago against Marco Antonio Barrera in Las Vegas. And I think, you know, That's an interesting comparison. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he accused himself of inactivity. It's his own fault he's been inactive. What is it? Six fights in five years. I think, you know, there's his narcissism and arrogance, and you do need that as a fighter for the things that he's done. He's been a pioneer, a pathfinder, a life bringer to MMA, to the mainstream. But he is a parody of himself now. He is not the wrecking ball featherweight that he was, who tore mentally through opponents. He was one-dimensional. He thought he could just walk through Poirier, and he did have a very good first round in that fight.
It was.
But he ran out of ideas, and I think he's struggling, and he needs to find a new identity. They are pushing for the third fight. John Kavanagh's been on with Ariel Helwani in the United States saying that's the fight they want, and I understand it. And he may well do, like he may well come through it like he did against Nate Diaz in that second fight. That they had 4 years ago. Listen, he's an incredible character, but I just wonder, with the silk pajamas and billionaire's yacht he turned up in, 150 million in the bank, whether that hunger has actually gone now, and maybe the McGregor era is over.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, I think fantastically put as well. I would like to see him maybe have one more, but he doesn't look like he's evolved. He almost looked like he was trying to have a boxing match with Dustin Poirier. My thing, Gareth, has always been get in, get rich, get out. He got in, he's become super rich. I think we know that, right? Get out now. What else do you have to go for? You were the champ. You've broken records. I'm hearing that the fight in the early hours of Sunday morning was the second highest pay-per-view in UFC's history. I don't know what else he has to achieve. And some of these young, hungry fighters who don't have the money, I think will start to eat him up. I mean, him versus Oliveira could be a nightmare, for example. I just don't want to see those fights.
He'll never fight Oliveira. There's two fights left for him, or three. Is the trilogy with Poirier, which he could win. The trilogy with Nate Diaz, because we just like the smack.
Could win that as well.
I think, yeah, exactly. And the fight with Manny Pacquiao, which I think would make money. Or maybe even with, is it Jake Paul? That would do a lot of money on YouTube. It would do a lot of money with the YouTuber. Look, the thing is this. He's an incredible character. You know, as you say, get in, get rich, get out. They always say that you want the biggest fees. You get into the office early, you get out quick, but you produce on the show. Well, hopefully we'll produce every week like that, and we'll get in quick, we'll make a ton of money, and we'll get out quickly out the door.
Yeah, we certainly will. Do you think there are any legs? Before you quickly go, Gareth, last 30 seconds, do you still think there are legs in that Pacquiao fight? You mentioned that as a possible. Considering that he got beat, does anyone still want to see that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be quite good fun. And it's a crossover with boxing and MMA again. And also, of course, there is talk about this exhibition fight, quickly before we both go and I go, Ryan Garcia and Manny Pacquiao. I don't think that's going to happen, actually. I don't think it'll happen.
I honestly hope it doesn't happen, because I don't want Pacquiao to still hold up that WBA belt. I think people forget that he's the WBA champion. If you're going to have an exhibition fight, throw away the WBA, let Crawford win that. He then fights Spence, all the marbles, bing, bing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on for the hour today. It's great fun.
Great fun indeed. Gareth, thank you very much. Same time next week, another edition of The Knockout. Gareth A. Davis. Look, what's that for a first show? Gareth A. Davis, Frank Warren, Josh Warrington. I don't know what my producer Jeremy Fulham's going to do next week. I really don't.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. The Knockout with Adi Oladipo and Gareth A. Davis on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.